day 19, questions and answers 50 and 51. Let us read this part of our confession, Heidelberg Catechism. Question 50 then, why the next words, this is about the explanation of the Apostles' Creed, and that the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, sits there at the right hand of God to judge the living and the dead. Why is the next word, sits at the right hand of God? Christ ascended to heaven, there to show that he is head of his church, and that the Father rules all things through him. Question 51, how does this glory of Christ, our head, benefit us? The answer is first, through his Holy Spirit, he pours out his gifts from heaven upon us, his members. And second, by his power, he defends us and keeps us safe from all enemies. After the sermon, the song of response is number 38. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever seen construction workers walking on steel beams? It's quite amazing how they do that at a height of some 10 to 15 meters. Those workers certainly shouldn't have any fear of height. Well, I observed, so many years ago, I observed them doing that when the ICS gym was built here in Winnipeg. When I saw that, it gave me the shivers. Those workers just did their work on quite an elevation, walking just, as it seemed to me, on small steel beams, just walking as we would walk along the garden path. Well, those workers, of course, knew that those beams were tightly connected and also tightly anchored. And they were never walking and working just on their own either. No, I saw that they got support from fellow workers. And yet I couldn't help thinking, imagine just a little misstep and the law of gravity would kick in. It would pull them right down to serious injury or even death. What I also saw was when they worked there high up, they didn't lurch over. They neither looked down, but always up. They kept themselves straight, and so they confidently walked across the beams. To me, it seemed as if they were walking in the sky, walking in heaven, as it were. And they did so as if an invisible line or bond kept him safe. Well, you wonder, what does it bring us, that story? What's it all about? Where does it bring us? Well, Lord's Day 19, beloved, summarizes our faith in the exalted Lord Jesus Christ. And through his exalted and glorious position, we too have that same heavenly walk and position. We, as it were, comfortably walk in a heavenly life. Christ also makes us into gifted people. And further, he makes us into his safe people, that we would not fall down. It brings us to our theme and points this afternoon. Faith in Christ's exalted position gives us a heavenly life. The exalted Christ makes us into his exalted people, his gifted people, and his preserved people. Faith in Christ exalted. He is in heaven, next to his Father in the throne. That exalted position gives us a heavenly life. The first point is then that the exalted Christ makes us into his exalted people. Brothers and sisters, young and old, Lord's Day 18, the previous Lord's Day about Christ's ascension, confirms our unbreakable bond with God triune. Christ's ascension, that he, after his death, his resurrection, then he ascended into heaven. That ascension shows that the way to the Father is open again. It also affirms that Christ will complete his work. And furthermore, that the witness of the other counselor, the Holy Spirit, will be effective. Our life strength, riches, and glory are in heaven. And that is what we are here for. That our life goes to heaven. Our praise goes on high. Our hearts are lifted up on high. For our prayers are going up to God's throne. You see, our whole worship is fixed on our Christ ascended into heaven, who is in that exalted position. Especially, also, we experience that at the table of the Lord. At the Lord's Supper, we are encouraged to lift up our hearts to heaven. Why to heaven? Well, there Christ is seated at the right hand of his heavenly Father. Although, as for his human nature, he is absent from us, yet with respect to his divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, we confessed in Lord's Day 18, the previous one, Christ is never, ever absent from us. And his actual presence is felt by his support. And that support, Christ's support, keeps us in balance in our spiritual life as God's children. While we have our eyes on high in heaven, on Christ in heaven, we know that our glorious Lord Jesus Christ keeps his eyes on us while on earth. Well, beloved, Lord's Day 19 continues to instruct us on the same topic as Lord's Day 18. We immediately see this in the formulation of question 50. Why the next words? It is immediately connected. You could say, why is there added? Seated at the right hand of God. This shows that with Lord's Day 19, we continue to reflect on Christ's location, his place in heaven. And that through him, we have the same place. We have an exalted life. You ask, what kind of life is this? Take note, beloved, that our relationship and bond with Christ is mentioned in a special way. Have you noticed that when we read question and answer 50 and 51? That our Savior is called in a special way. He is called, yes, how? Our head. He is called our head. Now, you know, a head is a ruling authority. A head gives direction and support. A head makes the decisions and leads. He brings things to a solution. He's able and available for help. A head may sit in his executive office, but if he takes his position seriously, then he doesn't just sit there in a comfortable chair. Then he doesn't sit there just idle. from his desk, the head oversees and he directs everything, all action. Well, that said of our Lord with the statement, and sits at the right hand of God. Christ sitting there doesn't indicate inaction on his part. There he is not resting. There he doesn't let things go. On the contrary, Christ, so to speak, is sitting at the head desk in heaven. Never forget that, beloved young people. Christ governs from heaven. He sits at the head desk of heaven. And there, on his desk, so to speak, he has God's plan of redemption in front of him. He makes sure that that plan is executed and fulfilled. And he involves his people to work out that plan, to work out the salvation of the world, as we also have read in our scripture reading. Isn't that amazing? That we may do Christ's work. And yet, Christ keeps the active leadership. And we should never forget that. He is our head. It's extremely important to see that Jesus is still very active in this world. He is in full control. He personally supports, directs, and leads. You know, many people forget that. And many people won't accept this truth as we have it here in front of us. Many people, they don't look up. They just keep their eyes on earth. And what then do they see? Well, they see that after Christ's departure, people took over. The apostles did the work. And they see that the apostles ruled in Jerusalem. And that Peter was the most important one. Peter seemed to be the head then and there. Others too, they formed and ruled churches in Africa, Asia Minor, Greece, and Italy. Furthermore, they observe and so think that through human effort and the following up work of others, the Christian church became an important institution in world history. Beloved, do you see? When we keep our eyes just on the earth and on people, when we get our head in heaven, do we see then what happens? The people, they come with their scholarly conclusion that Christianity is merely one of the world religions. You hear it everywhere, you read it everywhere. Christianity is one of the world religions. And since we are human and easily impressed by learned people, we might be in danger of forgetting the glorious position of our head in heaven, as expressed in Lord's Day 19. And in this respect, I especially think of our university students. Young people who follow religious studies at public colleges and universities. Their professors will teach them that undoubtedly Jesus was a great spiritual leader. A great man. Worthy to be followed. But he was a historical figure. And that history presents him as the founder of the Christian faith. And his followers in turn then founded the Christian church. Do you know and do you see, beloved, what is faulty in such presentations, young people, students? Modern and liberal Christianity ignore or even deny the true position of Christ and his people. They are blind for the glorious and the invisible bond between the exalted Christ in heaven and his people in church on earth. His people, and we confess that we are his people, Christ's people. And so we confess Christ as the living Lord in heaven. Yes, we confess his lordship. And so with the catechism, summarizing the gospel, we believe that in heaven, Christ shows himself to be the head of his church, through whom the Father governs all things. And therefore, congregation, young people, Christ is not just an historical figure. And the church, the Christian church, is not just a matter of history. Now, in church here, we don't fix our eyes on what we merely see. And then a church believing Christians? No. Here we see the invisible reality of Christ's and his work. We see and we experience here that Christ is with his people and that he supports us, that he keeps us in balance. He makes us sure and safe. We have that unbreakable bond with him. That's faith, isn't it? As it is defined and described in Hebrews 11. Faith is the assurance of hope, the substance of the unseen. And so, beloved, I come back to that example I started the sermon with here in church. As it were, we walk on steel beams. We walk here on the steel beams of Christ's word and work. This means that, like Christ, we have an exalted position too. If Christ is the head, and we are his people, we belong to him. We are even his body, his members. You see, there is that close unity between Christ and us. A unity being in his heavenly throne and we here on earth. That connection is very strong. There in heaven is our life, Paul says in Philippians 2. In chapter 3, verse 20, we read, our citizenship, our place where we belong, and where our head is and our Lord, our citizenship is in heaven. That is our exalted position now already. Well, we ask, all that is said, what does it really mean? What concretely does this exalted position of ours mean? Well, congregation, it is easy to criticize liberal Christians to be earthly minded, just to be busy with history. But let us look into the mirror ourselves. Let us ask ourselves this afternoon, how strong are we in being heavenly minded, beloved? How strong are you, each one of you, how strong are you in being heavenly minded? You know, we are jubilant about having the backing and support of the Lord, and we rejoice in all that he has done and still does for us. But how do we concretely and how do we actively show our invisible bond with our Lord? So how confidently do we, so to speak, walk on the steel beams of faith? Beloved, if we confess to have a strong and unbreakable bond and position with Christ, that means that we actually reflect him. who he is, how he lived, since through him and his power of his Spirit, we are children of God, then we live in true spirituality as children of God. Then we live a heavenly life. This afternoon, I don't come with my own practical direction for this heavenly life. I refer to the Apostle Paul, how we should live out that life, how we should reflect our exalted position. And we have read that in that letter to the Philippians. Being united with Christ, having a spiritual bond with him, then Paul says, actually, then we have the same love. Then we are one in spirit and purpose. And we show a humble disposition. And we work out each other's salvation. You see, Paul says, then we are children of light. We shine like stars high above in the sky. And then we hold forth the word of life. We show that here in this world, we are dominated and ruled and directed by our head in heaven. We honor him and glorify him in our work, in our sport, in our music. We worship him, not just in the pew on Sundays. We serve him in all our activities. It all boils down to this, beloved. We are Christ-driven people, looking up on the steel beams of faith, looking up. We acknowledge that Christ has taken hold of us, so that the gravity of evil cannot pull us down. You see, we are Christ-driven people. Let's rejoice in our exalted position. But there is more. Through our head in heaven, we also are his gifted people. Our second consideration. With answer 51, we confess that by his Spirit, he pours out heavenly gifts upon us, his members. He pours us full with gifts. What kind of? First and foremost, we must think of the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gift, everyone knows this, I hope, also the younger people here in church, what is the gift of Christ? That is the gift of the Holy Spirit himself. In his New Testament fullness, the Spirit of God has come to live among the people of Christ's church. We acknowledge that in our singing also this afternoon already, that he will, and that he lives in us, will dwell in us. Yes, congregation, first of all, know that the Holy Spirit himself is the gift of Christ. And then his Spirit, John 16, takes everything from Christ. And then as the Spirit, he delivers all the gifts, all Christ's treasures and benefits to us. The Holy Spirit is Christ's pledge that we will receive all his gifts and that we partake in all his benefits. His treasures are then the treasures of the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and holiness. The benefits are many. You can say the benefits and the gifts are faith, hope, and love. A new life. The gifts are brothers and sisters of the same faith. Gifts of Christ are the offices of minister, elders, and deacons. Christ's gifts are all our possibilities and provisions. Gifts are growth in faith. And of course, what we saw already in this sermon, the gifts of, Paul mentioned that in Philippians, compassion. kindness, meekness, peace, enthusiasm, and love. All that is poured into us who are totally empty of all spirituality. Through Christ's fullness, we come to true spirituality again. We are even gifts ourselves. Beloved, you are a gift yourself to one another. You see, Christ poured us full so that our gifts will flow over to others. And in this way, we have the heavenly life. We, as his members, experience the presence of Christ, our head. In Philippians, Paul also refers to that heavenly life. In chapter 2, verse 13, he says, "It is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." We are not just Christ-driven, beloved. We also are Spirit-driven people. For the Spirit enables us to work out God's plan of salvation. Even at this moment, listening to God's Word, all those gifts and all those treasures are poured again upon us through the blessing of Christ and His Spirit. And I think of important passages such as Acts 2 through chapter 4, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. Very briefly, I will direct your attention to these passages of a Spirit-filled life and true spirituality. Acts 2 through chapter 4, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. It is striking, congregation, that in Ephesians 4, Paul relates the gifts of the Spirit first and foremost to the special office in church. There in Ephesians 4, you find it in the verses 11 through 13, Paul makes clear that the offices are gifts of the Spirit. The offices, the special offices, ministry, the Holy Spirit applies all what we have in Christ. Through that office we experience the presence of Christ in all that we have in Him. In the book of Acts, the reality of the offices as the ministry of the Spirit is clearly revealed. In the book of Acts, we see the apostles preaching. We see Paul making his missionary journeys, not just because he wants that, but he is driven by the Spirit to do so. He is led by the Spirit. You see, the Spirit sends his messengers to the places where his people have to work. And through all this official labor, congregations are formed and instituted. Elders and deacons are ordained. Elders give them pastoral care. Deacons, they extend Christ's mercy to the members. From Acts 20, verse 28, we learn that the office bearers are ordained by the Holy Spirit. The office bearers, the elders of Ephesus, there in Ephesians 4, we read that they are employed by the Spirit, so to speak. Office bearers are not representatives of a congregation of people. Office bearers and ministers are not employed by a group of people. They are employed by Christ through His Spirit. They show the presence of Christ. Through His Spirit, His members are an all-gifted people. So note clearly, beloved, note clearly, here we don't say, in the Christian church, we don't say that elders and deacons are just the only spiritual gifted people. Not at all. God's word, especially in Acts, tells us that Christ's gifts through the Spirit are poured upon all the members. Christ's Spirit is poured upon men and women, even on the younger ones, young and old. And in this respect, beloved, we all are in office, being gifted people, being stars of Christ. It means that we hold an office. We all hold an office in church. This also holds true for our sisters, the women in Christ's church. And so it cannot hurt to say this very clearly. We have, in a sense, in a spiritual sense, we have women in office, our sisters. They too have the gift from the exalted Christ. They too are ordained by the Spirit, as we confess in Lord's Day 12. No doubt, you will have received the privilege and the blessing of being encouraged, that you are strengthened by a gifted sister of the congregation. And yet, the special office bearers are given to us as the spiritual leaders in the congregation. Men who are the elders and the deacons. Men who then officially, in the name of Christ, representing Him, they come on behalf of the exalted Lord. And through them, Christ then shows us and leads us and how we should use and how we should share our own heavenly gifts. And so the office bearers in church don't do the work for us. No, they encourage us that each of us use the gifts Christ pours upon us. That's, for example, why office bearers come to us. They stimulate us to show the image of Christ, to show us that exalted position we talked about in the first point, that we do so in life and doctrine. And they will ask, tell us, which special gifts of the Spirit do you have? How do you use those gifts in the light of, for example, Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 as members of the body? Elders, they tell us, they ask us, they challenge us. What role do you have in the body of Christ? Tell us about how you show true spirituality. Tell us, how do you show up that you have that living bond with Christ? How do you hold forth the word of life? Deacons, on their visit, might ask us and challenge us, because we have to do the work in church. We have to use our gifts. The deacons, they might ask, how do you shine as a star of Christ, sharing His mercy? The answers we give to elders and deacons, the answers we give to the exalted Lord, show how we are walking in and through the Spirit. They will show how we are walking our heavenly life, how we are walking on the steel beams of faith. Do we do so confidently, being fixed on heaven? Or uncertain, fearful, looking down too much to the earthly things below? Or are we content with the rich gifts Christ has filled us with? Or is still too much that attitude of complaining, grumbling, being dissatisfied? Oh, beloved, Never forget, faith in Christ's exalted position, seated at the right hand of his Father, through whom he all things governs. That exalted position, it gives us a heavenly life. Live that way, as gifted people. We must do things without murdering. Sorry. We have to do all things without murmuring, Paul says in chapter 2, verse 14. There, the apostle tells us that using our gifts, we are and we become blameless and pure. Imagine, it's written in this letter. Using our gifts, we are and become blameless and pure. Children of God without fault in a crooked and perverse generation. Isn't it glorious? Among them then we shine as lights in the world. But with Paul, we also say and acknowledge, 3 verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You see, we all and we together are gifted people, and so we are spirit-driven people. That's why we can and do walk in the Spirit. That is, Paul says, with confidence, our face up. And that's what I do, Paul says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Called me heavenward. Use your gifts for that direction. And so as members of Christ and the communion of his people, we are empty of the spirit of this world, but we are full of the Spirit of Christ. The Heidelberg Catechism further states further that by his power he defends and keeps us safe from all enemies. That's our third consideration. We are safe, we are preserved people. Enemies are mentioned here. Later on in the Heidelberg Catechism, and those who already follow catechism instruction and who have followed catechism instruction in the past know that somewhere at another place in the catechism, those enemies are mentioned by name. Question and answer 127 tells us that our enemies are the devil, the world, and our own flesh. Now, when still on earth, then our Lord Jesus Christ promised that he will always be with us, his people, that he will protect his people, us. He will not drop them. Oh, that truth is of immense value in our ministry to one another and living our spiritual life, showing true spirituality. For we are assured, actually, no one will be able to do us lasting harm. No one can successfully, effectively oppose his church. Oh yes, oh yes. We might be sifted like Peter, but Christ prays for us. Remember, he is at the right hand of his Father. Christ prays for us that our faith will not fail. We will not fall to our death when we walk on the steel beams of faith. The evil powers of hell will never win it from us. God will not fail us. We will not fail God. We will be more than victorious, conquerors, Romans 8. You see, God's people are safe people. Till today, the church often under strong attacks, even today, in the papers, in the universities, A lot of slander, persecution, and death. And yet, till today, God's people aren't banished from the earth. Through all the evil conflicts from within and from without, the church still exists, and the church grew, even through the blood of spirit-filled people, of the martyrs. You see, we are safe with Christ our head. He will defend us against wolves, evil and bad wolves. They are all around. But we are safe. He will keep us safe from all dangers and enemies. Even if the ground terribly shakes underneath us, the steel beams of our faith will remain firmly anchored, and we won't fall off. After all, remember, He has given us an exalted position. He gives us many, many gifts. The gifts which are at the same time the tools for which we ourselves must secure the beams of our faith. And that's what we do together. Beloved, we cannot live a solitary life. In conclusion, we cannot walk on our own on those steel beams. We would fall then. We need each other. And don't forget either that our beams are connected and that Christ builds and finishes His church through our work and walk. Oh, below the devil and all enemies, the world and our own flesh might try to get us out of balance. But you know what? Our faith endures the testings and beatings. Through all that, our walk in faith become stable, stronger, and firmer. We are not only Christ-driven people or Spirit-driven people, we are also faith-driven people. For unbelievers, our walk of life may appear insane. They may call us stupid. On a beautiful Sunday, go to church, for example. But you know what? Also, young people, do you know what? One day, the world will take a morning walk. And maybe they will go on a beautiful Sunday then to the beach. But then, in the rising sun, or in full sunshine, they will witness that its high-rise cities will crumble into nothing. All fall down. And then they will gasp. The whole world will gasp. Alas. And then they also will fall to their knees in awe and terror to the Holy God. God's people, however, may experience the exhilarating joy to find that their beams of steel will have been taken up in the construction of the rooms of the holy city, the New Jerusalem, on the new and the renewed earth. For our citizenship is with the Lord in that exalted position, remember, in heaven. And we will safely arrive in our glorious destination. Beloved, this Sunday, in the morning, the afternoon service, and sermons, you have heard a lot. How do we go from here? How do we remember all this? Also, young people will say, well, what do we do with it? How do we remember? Walking on the beams of faith, also just simply this week, remember, I am Christ-driven and I am Spirit-driven. Yes, I am faith-driven. With our eyes on high, we know Christ's eyes are on us. And we are gifted people. And so we worship Him. And we sing with our voices on high, a table thou hast furnished me in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, you know. My cup overflows in goodness and mercy. All my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore, my dwelling place shall be. Amen.